I'm sure you're aware, Spot.
These things you write on for children. I said to you, I think there's a problem with Moichik actually with them. Magnetic ones. Someone just put one of my children actually one for today. I don't know, I'm not sure, I have to check it out, but my stuff, see, as soon as you just tilt it, the whole thing rubs out. Depends which one. I've said, this one's very interesting. It's very hard to write on. It's very clever. I wanted to bring it with, actually. I forgot to bring it with. It's very clever. You write, it's quite hard to write on, but when you write it, you make a nice picture, and then one tilt, the whole thing rubs out. So I don't know what that is. That's a very schwach shokayoma, that, yeah? That's a very, very schwach. That could be interesting. See, these modern inventions, I remember when I was a little boy, it's going back quite a few years, so they came along with microwaves. The microwaves came out. So the Rav Gibbon Yeshia said that they asked Rav Shlomo Zalman, they brought the microwave to Rav Shlomo Zalman, and they asked him a few shalas about a microwave. Is it called bosel b'chanu? If someone cooks with a microwave, is that called cooking meat and milk? Is that ism and ato to use on Shabbos? Is it midrabbanan? It's better for chol if you can use that. So he said, unfortunately I don't know where it is, but he said, Rav Shlomo Zalman said they should bring you a shalmi and trumas, and from that you shalmi and trumas, Rav Shlomo Zalman passed with all the halachas of a microwave. So it's all there. Shai's had to find it. Alright, so I don't know, this thing automatically, I don't know, it's very interesting, Taka. Yeah, I'm not sure. Let's just finish off, we're just finishing off, actually, Hilchos Moichik. We're just doing a summary of what we've learnt, really, going through everything. So, we were up to the bits about scratching lottery tickets. So we said that someone, you know, get these scratch cards, actually, and also, it's an appropriate time of the year now, so you can scratch these scratch cards, we're doing it for a stocker, and you can see whether you want some money. So that is, you're rubbing out to get to the letters underneath that. That, according to the Prima Gordim, is an Issa Ben Atoya, it's a tikkun. It's a proper tikkun. You're covering something over, which is a major tikkun, that's not already done. According to the Bachmisa as well, the shav on top of the thing. All these things, that's what we spoke about when you got a bencher, for example. Also, I forgot to bring up, I looked at one yesterday, I had a bencher, and on one of the zemiras, there was a bit of something stuck over the letter. Money stuck onto the letter. So to peel that off on Shabbos, the chur is problematic. Who doesn't realize that, yeah? You think, the food is not really meant to be on there. You want to peel it off. So we said, the Bach says, if you've got wax on top of a writing, and it obscures the writing, that means only if you can't see the writing underneath it because of the wax. That means if the wax is see-through, so I said to you last time, so some people say, well, these are here. I haven't got one that I want here. You know, some of these, what's it called, markers for the paper. So some of them are transparent, so you put it over the writing, you can see right through it. If it's, you can't see, the marshal, something like this, let's say, it's not mummy's a good example, but let's say something like this. So you put it over the letter, the mummy obscures the letter. You can't see at all. So that was a bit of a question there, the miser. Some poskim say that's a problem, so that's mummy's like the Bach. Because since it's stuck on, and you're removing it on Shabbos, you're revealing the writing underneath it, that's Moichik.
Sticking. That's not
from sticking. Oh, so some other time like you're saying, now the Bav is only stuck on, it's not mummy stuck on firmly, that was the Oka Shabbos for, that maybe that's better than wax. Wax is very permanent. But this is a bit easier. Yes, Lord, you have to know, it's not so posh that, so you have to know exactly that. That was, at least there were letters, then we spoke about the cakes, this goes through this again once more, the cakes, the famous case for the cakes. A person got writing on a cake, it's a mazel tov cake, a nice, someone's birthday, whatever it is, or simpler. So it's written mother top on the cake. So we said also, okay, I want to correct myself also what we said. I said to you originally that there's one case in Mishnah Berurah allowed, but you asked me on this case here, and that is when you wrote with May Paris, you wrote with fruit juice. The person writes with fruit juice, so the Mishnah Berurah says that writing is very, very weak. It's negligible really, and therefore it's not called a writing. So you can cut through that letter. So I said to you, I can't think of any example of that nowadays. I mean, all the writing that we use is normally quite visible, and therefore it's a problem to cut through it. But Father told me that cream has got the same deal as this, because since cream, if you just put your hand over it, it just rubs out very easily. It's got no shokayom, it's not called shokayom at all. So the chiddush, that means you've got a birthday cake with mother top written in cream, then there's nothing wrong with taking a knife to cut through it. So someone asked me, good kasha, I don't understand this to me. You've got writing on a window. Remember? Yeah. Someone's got writing on a window, and he goes with his hand over the window, he rubs it out. So a problem. Yeah. Well, what's the question? What? There's nothing, he must have machika. Even though you've got no te'elis, which is a massive rabbi. Remember, you've got writing on the wall, so I'm asking the kasha. So I was engaged in the actual part of the kasha. Straight to me, it's a big difference, my friend. He didn't say my friend, he said it's a big difference. What's the difference? He said the difference is that when you're cutting cakes, consideration, you're not intending to cut a letter, you're intending to cut a cake. That's a psik resha. Psik resha is you're doing an action which is really allowed. Cutting a cake is allowed. It happens to be there's a letter there. That's called a psik resha. That is questionable. It's ein shakam, it's mutter. When you take your hand and you rub over the writing, that's not psik resha. That's mummish rubbing our writing. That's worse. That's not allowed.
You can't smear the clean cake either.
Can't smear?
Take a knife and just smear it across the right.
Yeah, the that's much worse than that. Yeah, that could be worse. That's quite right. Very good. Yeah, that's clever. Yeah. Worse. Yeah.
No,
I don't cut leather. When a person cuts a cake normally,
you might give something a special piece of it with the letter, the writing on it.
Yeah, but normally you want to cut the whole letter for the person. You don't want the person just to get it half men. So you're not breaking the letter. To cut, that's what we said last time. When you got the cake like this, if you cut through in between the letters, then there's no problem. We said that's a chiddush. That kirev oish is a rikh oish is not a problem. What?
Most cakes with cream cakes, you always blob it on, put a knife and numbers on it, and you always have thought it's a problem with cake.
Yeah, I thought it was a problem. It's because I checked the game, I asked them, he said, it's not a problem. The cream that's hard is worse, yeah. Sometimes the cream hardens, that's a problem. Very often,
soft,
cream is soft.
Yeah, it's not fluffy cream.
After this, you put your hand over cream. You've got a nice cream cake, and you put your hand over, you just smear the whole thing, it's finished. Yeah, if it's hard, chocolate's much harder. Chocolate's hard, but cream, depends on what you're doing. You get this whipping cream over it, yeah?
With a thing,
yeah, that's
56, whatever it is,
yeah.
And it
moves
on,
and then... Don't give me age, you'll be careful, yeah?
I'm not 56,
I'm
what you...
I'm
not eventually
hard. If it hardened, then you've got a problem. But I don't think it always has to harden, I don't think it's true. I guess we'll never see it, then.
What if your window's foggy and you're wiping it down because you want to... And there happens to be someone wrote there, so...
That's
also
the outside.
Yeah, that could be better. Maybe it could be. If you're not in
the
tennis, I'm not sure. That. Maybe it could be better in that case.
It's the same as the case.
Yeah, possibly. Possibly. Yeah, possibly. So we said one of the eights is certainly a few eights have to do with these cream cakes. So I want you to cut in between the letters. That's it, right? Yeah? Then we said, who are they? If you cut, you slice off the whole letter from the bottom.
With a bit of.
Because we said it might be a problem with boiling if you do that. I mean, if you slice it off the letter and you're going to eat it, then that's okay. But if you're not, then the moshi, you have to slice off that a bit of the sponge with it, so you haven't done boiler at all, and you've done that mutter. That's also be a way to do it, yeah? That's also a mutter. What else did we say? Another eitzah was. I don't know, eitzah, that was it, I think, really, with the cream cake. Oh, we said an eitzah of Shabbos Zayin was also a chiddush. I don't know what the spoil is 100%. But Shabbos Zayin said, if you cut the cake before Shabbos, it means you cut all the segments. You make the lines in the center, you go right through the cake. That means the cake is intact. But now all you have to do is pull the piece away. So Shlomo's answer is clearly it's already separated, and there's no problem of doing that on Shabbos. Kiddush, actually. Even though it's hard oysters. Yeah, that's what we said. What else did we say? Then we spoke about peeling eggs, which I've actually been careful about now. It's like interesting. Peeling eggs, many eggs have got stamps on it, lumber. So the mice, when you crack the egg on Shabbos, what's going to happen is you're going to crack the lettering. So you have to be careful, that's the problem. So either, the eight says, either you crack eggs before Shabbos. My one wants to do that. Some people don't like to have eggs left overnight. Okay. So what you can do is, the posh eitzah, you can crack that bit with the writing before Shabbos. Oh, take that bit off, and the rest of the shell leave on the egg. As long as you've got some part of the shell on the egg, there's not a problem of leaving, there's no ruach rog, say that. Or you can write an eitzah, you can rub over it, you can write it, take an ink pen. Sorry?
It washes off.
Yeah, but I'm saying if you cook it, it takes very hard to get off. Even when you cook
why
it in water.
Is it a you want to get into the egg, you're not interested in the writing.
Correct, quite right. But then the Maisa, that's a Mishnah Berurah's machmir of Psikresha. Mishnah Berurah doesn't make you cut a cake with a knife, even though it's a Psikresha. So that's what we said, the Maisa Mishnah Berurah is machmir of Psikresha.
Why is that wasn't cream cake?
According no, because the cream cake's got no kayoma. If you just put your hand over it, it's not called a ksav. This is mamish lasting, you can't get rid of this ink. Now, that you're right, it's a psik ratio, which the dogma robber allows, but the Mishnah Berurah holds that we don't allow psik ratio when you cut the cake. That was old Shad, but the Maor said it's awesome. The dogma robber says it's a psik ratio of trade bottles of mutton. Mishnah Berurah says we can't go with that, we don't go with that. You can't cut the cake writing on it. He's only makel to eat the cake. That means you've got a mazel tov written on the cake, and you want to eat that cake, so you've got the same problem. When you put it in your mouth and you chew it, you're rubbing out the letter. So that the Mishnah Berurah says is alright. Whatever reason is, the Mishnah Berurah is making in that case, the Mishnah Berurah says when you're doing derech achila, that is not a problem of destroying the letter, even though you're doing the same thing. But that is mutter. It's only to take a knife and cut through it, it's not allowed, but to actually chew it is mutter. That was the case of, what do you call it, the case. And we spoke about teddy bear biscuits, I'm going to alter that again, but we spoke about biscuits, which the whole surah is a shape. But that was no problem. For whatever reason it is, the mice, that's mukha, that's not a problem, it's not considered, we don't really ignore that shape, and you can even crack it with your hands. So a teddy bear biscuit, crack with your hands, cut it with a knife, no problem at all. Okay, that was more or less it. And also, we spoke about cups with pictures on. It was a famous thing with a picture on it. So we said you shouldn't use those on Shabbos, actually. They're called a magic cup. So it's a problem either as kosev or when you undo it, it's called moichek. Okay, then we came on to a big chelik of moichek. Is now, this is an interesting thing, about Chazal said a person mustn't read any business-related item. That means Lebosh or something like a contract, bills, receipts, bank statements, all these things are also to read. So there's two reasons given by Chazal. Either there's a Chashash Hashem in Yimchot, you might rub something out, you're not happy with something written there, so you might rub something out, or it's Mimse Chavtecha, it's doing business on Shabbos. That's why you mustn't read it. So Chazal made a whopping gazer over here, and Chazal said because of this, all reading material is forbidden on Shabbos. Unless you've got some material, but basically, all secular reading material is banned.
I was thinking of Yerushalayim this week.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I was thinking about Yerushalayim. A lot of things
that I was reading it.
Oh, I hope you're reading the right things.
That's the problem.
That's
the
let's read it. So all secular things, the Chayr, are problematic. There's only a few attainments Chazal give. Chazal give a few attainments. Chazal, heter number one is if it's completely abnormal. That means a normal document is written on paper on normal writing. When a person changes the tzur of the writing, that means he either engrains the writing or he makes the writing stick out. Plus, it's written on a mechubal karka, that's mutter. So what do we say? So that over there, for example, here, besides that, that might be Torah, but this over here, you see it's protruding, the letter Shimonikim, where that letter is protruding and it's on something which is mechubal. That is no problem to read on Shabbos. It's two parts removed from the gzera. It's mechobah lekarka, and it's boiled sticking out. You can have something which is ingrained in. I'm not sure about that picture. I can't remember that one. Is that stuck in? But the moisture, you have to know whatever it is. Is there anything else over here? The fire eggs and something like that. Okay. Is that stuck in? I'm not sure about it. Whatever it is, if it's ingrained in, or we had it on the noteboard outside. When you go out, I think the door by the door there, open the door. It says one of the notes there is stuck onto the door, it's a hole of kaka, and it's ingrained into the plate. So that's also mutter. That's het number one. Okay, that's also common. Number two is a ksav shal mitzvah. Any writing which is to do with a mitzvah is mutter. What's called a ksav shal mitzvah? And that's totally certainly allowed. We said even a seating list for a meal, that's also called a ksav shal mitzvah. Because you need to know what people sit in the wrong place. A menu list that we set up for a woman to read a menu list, that's not so posh, because I wonder the food's important, but not every part of the menu is important. So a menu list for a woman to read her menu list, it's 2 days John to Shabbos, so she's got a menu list to read. It's not so posh for a woman to read, the Mishnah Berurah says. It's best that someone who's not in charge of the Suda should read it. So it depends. In some houses, the husband also plays a major part in the meal. If he does, then you should get one of the children to read it. Yeah, if the husband doesn't play such a major part, then the husband could read out to his wife the menu list.
Why? What's
the difference
who it is?
Shami Yimcho is on the person who's in charge.
So she said he's probably out.
No, that's already further removed. Chazal won't go there in that case. That's already, only the person, but a boss himself with war, might rub it out. But for the person to tell someone else to rub it out, that person will do it. That's really further. If she's not a shomer, yeah, could be. I don't know about shomer. No, could be. There's a shomer there. Normally we say a rabbim is a shmirah, but I don't know about one person. I'm not sure. I don't know. And we said the tzorech mitzvah is mutter. Yeah, so the mashal seating plan is mutter. You like to you go to a shem or a chas on what you call it, and you want to know where you're sitting. There's nothing wrong with looking for your seating plan. You're allowed to look at that. That's not a problem at all. That's mutter to do.
Why reading a menu?
Don't you have every single dish there in the menu? It's not just a mitzvah.
Six meals.
It's a mitzvah. I don't know if every part of the menu is a Torah mitzvah. Everything's called a mitzvah. There's nothing what's also.
So it's mitzvah. Shabbos is a mitzvah.
Yeah, I'm saying, but not every detail of it is a mitzvah. Not every single course, every single thing is a mitzvah. Not basic food. It's just you have to know which. I'll just check it out. I hear what you're saying.
A person making it to the wall, and you know, he's making some Friday night, a mitzvah Friday night.
He's got his programme, the Baal Simcha will have his programme up and down, but now he's going to speak next. Well, he might.
Yeah, it's a good example.
If he's Yiddish.
Yeah, hopefully, you should have it. It's a good idea. It's not so posh, that. Unless you see the rabbin, the third rabbin. I think the Baal HaBosra got a problem. He shouldn't. I don't know.
He's
question.
Doing it in front of people. So maybe
the yes, the rabbin helps you for the Gezeira of Tzorech Mitzvah. Let me just write it down. So you're asking what about, what's it called? A plan, yeah, planning list.
Programme. Timetable.
Timetable. Okay, let me shut up. Set that. Okay, let's go, move on. Let's finish it off.
If you pin the menu to the wall, is that not Mechubel?
It's very good. It doesn't help you. You need two conditions. For Mechubel Academy by itself is not enough. It has to be ingrained, set inside, or boilers. If you want to do that on Erev Shabbos, you've got time to do that on Erev Shabbos, then you can do it. But it's probably better to get a shame or give it to someone else to do. It's probably easier. You can do that. You can do that. And another thing we said was a secular knowledge, Chochmah. That's also Chazal made no gezeir on. Chazal allowed a person to read a book of secular knowledge, not a science book, a biology book, that's also mutter. Then we had one big thing, that's come to newspapers, we went to newspapers. So the Moshe Goyish newspapers, that was an interesting question, that. So it used to be in the olden days, Poskim did allow it, they did justify it for reasons that sometimes it writes in there things that are necessary for you to know. What, for example, do you know? The Moshe has to know that the stock market is doing very badly. Means even though you mustn't do business on Shabbos, but protecting your assets is an important thing. So that could be a necessity. But even if that's true, you could only read things down again. If you start reading in a non-Jewish newspaper, there's a war in Syria. Now, that's not really got any relevance to you. That, you've got no heads to read. Only thing is that I've got a relevance to you if you've got a heads to read. That's going to be a problem. So he says, that's the Jewish newspaper. In a Yiddish newspaper, hopefully, it's better. They've hopefully taken out what they feel is not so unnecessary. And they've only written things there which they feel are a necessity for you to know. I told you at the time, 2 weeks ago, when we were giving this share, there was this big thing with Elal going on. So I asked the Rav if he can read about, you know, what's going on with Elal. This boycott, you should make a boycott, you should make a boycott. He said he thinks that's called a Tzorech Mitzvah. That's allowed, actually. It's a Tzorech. It's an important thing. No, it's an important thing. It's important to know that even unite together. It's important that the Yidden are together in one thing. They have to know what's going on. So that could be a Tzorech already. But we said we looked at certain magazines last week. We took out, had examples of magazines. Some of the articles there might be Tzorech. That's true. The Moshe was also Chiddush. He said, the Moshe, that article there, of these people living in 10 people they interviewed who live by themselves. Mishaboy. Yeah, but they live by themselves and they're completely like hermits. But that could also be it's general knowledge. First of all, it's a big hit to a person, I think, when he sees how important it's to their friends. It's important that, yeah, so that's important. So that's all absurd. But the Moshe, I said an example, what's his name again? That's Bin Laden when Americans attacked him, that special group, I forgot what it's called, who came along to kill him. It's a very nice article, Kolakovod, but nothing to do with Shabbos. There's no tzurich for a person to read that on Shabbos. So the only heter one's got, we said, is the Mogen Avraham. Some people learn the Mogen Avraham, which if you haven't only Shabbos from reading something, you get a pleasure from reading it, then that's mutter. I'm saying many people disagree with that pshat in the Mogen Avraham, first of all. And even if you do, the Mishnah says one shouldn't rely on this, one shouldn't rely on this. I'm saying, I can't say it's awesome, mommy should do. But you have to know, if you've got nothing else to read, the first one is Mogen Avraham, you've got nothing else to read. That means if you've got other items to read, then you should read other items. Read the paper for during the week. But that's an important thing as well.
Why is a Goyish book not allowed to read?
A Goyish?
A Goyish book is allowed to read it.
You're not allowed to read.
It's certain books you are.
Yeah, Chochmah, Dibri Chochmah. Chazal weren't Goyish, Dibri Chochmah. It's like a Yedir. Chazal thought that was an important story for a person to know. It's like, I don't know, it's a Shal Mitzvah. It could be a bit like a Mitzvah, really, knowing things. Biology, these things are Chochmah. It could be a bit of a
Mitzvah. Yeah, you might be giving news to them.
Yeah, don't Chazal worry about it. In the Torah also, Chazal weren't going to. When you read a Torah, they can notice Chazal weren't going to such a thing. All these notices you see on the walls, the Moshe, the invitations, and that, we say it's all Heter Shemitzah, it's all Kesav Shemitzah. It's important to know when someone's making a simcha, you want to be started with them. So it's very nice, the Meister, they make a chassid in 2 weeks' time, but it's good, it registers in your head today on Shabbat, that's allowed to be done. But some which has nothing to do with that, an advertisement the Moshe for, I don't know what, someone selling model coats. That occurs no heter to read on Shabbos. So in some shuls taka, there's someone who goes around before Shabbos, and they take away these notices that you shouldn't read on Shabbos. And that's poshut, my friends. Those in a newspaper, you read the newspaper, the Moshul, which has got Sura for Eden, all the adverts there are not allowed to be read. That's not a heter taka. The adverts have got no heter to be read on Shabbos. All right, so I think that's more or less the end of my
list.
What?
An
advert in America.
An advert in America.
Because